Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, how Christians overcome fear. You may be seated. We hear a lot of talking about fear and the enemy of fear and the paralysis of fear and the limitations of fear. But when we read this story about Adam and Eve, it's a story of the where. I'm hidden in fear. The why. I was naked and unprepared. My behavior calls me to fear your presence. That is a real description of what fear does. Fear defined. The fearlessness of the unsaved is based on denial. The fearlessness of Christians is based on biblical truth. The Bible said in Revelations 21, 7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That is our promise. But the next verse is the real indicator of what it means not to be saved. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. When we talk about fear, there are two divisions, two types of fear. Proverbs 9:10 said, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Adam was extremely fearful, and he has been roundly criticized and attacked by preachers for decades for that fear. But the truth is that he should have been afraid. The Bible lists fear as the death knell of the unbeliever. The fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire. It's listed with the most horrible of sins, of those that are idolaters and whoremongers and sorcerers and murderers, the bond of all of those. But he lists also the fearful and the unbelievers with that, which would seemingly, in our mind, to be benign to all these perpetrators of horrible acts. But the Bible includes the fearful with them, as opposed to the inheritance of the faithful, of the overcoming believer, which we zero in on because we are believers. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. We're heirs, joint heirs of Christ, heirs of the Father. We shall inherit all things. I will be his God. God promised, he shall be my son. Having established that, we realize that Adam had no alternative but to fear. Why should he not be fearful? He has forfeited his position. He has surrendered his dominion. He has entered into collusion with the enemy, and he has no covering. Why should he not be fearful? It was the only reaction that he could have, which is pretty much the description of everyone that is not a born-again Christian. They forfeit their position. They've surrendered dominion. They're in collusion with the enemy. They have no covering. That's the description of every unbeliever that is not a born-again Christian in a true relationship with their Creator. The pablum message of the anemic church has produced false fearlessness among millions of people that have no viable relationship with Jesus Christ. But they love to talk about not having any fear. I know people that live just like the devil. And will say, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. They are deluded. They are deceived. And their fearlessness is a pretense. It is a false fearlessness. It is foolish to profess fearlessness when someone's position in life is identical or even similar to Adam's. When someone is not in Christ, has no authority over the devil, is in league with the enemy, has no protection from the arch enemy of humanity, to profess that they have no fear is more than arrogance. it is fatal ignorance. And yet there are millions of people that are in that state. It is illustrated in numerous places in the Bible what false fearlessness is about. But most vividly in the book of Acts, chapter 19, let me read it to you. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, say, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Their false fearlessness led them to false boldness, which resulted in total defeat. It will do so for everyone that has false fearlessness in this life and the life to come. But godly fear leads to salvation. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's where I started. When I heard the message of the gospel and when my mind was mature enough to perceive that message, fear came to my heart that I was going to be separated from God, that I was going to be punished, and that's where I began with the Lord. It's not a great place to live, but it's a phenomenal place to start. When one truly gives their life to Christ and does become a true born-again Christian, they can escape the condemning fear that Christ warns us about in Revelation 21:8 that I shared with you in my text. They become an overcomer with an eternal inheritance. That would include the vast majority of us in this building tonight. So I asked the questions, why are Christians truly fearless? The foundation of a true Christian fearlessness is the basis of a Christian's claim to a true fearless life. You can live with no fear in your life, with what the song says is blessed assurance, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that not only are you walking with Christ, not only is he with you every day, but he has your present and your future well in hand. So we base it on what? On a number of things. I'll share a few of those with you now. Number one, we base our fearlessness on the fact that we have a superior leader. Our leader is Jesus Christ. And we are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, and we are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear. We are not in a spirit of fear. We haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Christ that we serve, every knee will bow. We just have bowed early. Every tongue will confess. We have just confessed early. Remember, sons, some men's sins go before them. That would be us. Our sins have already been taken care of. Other men's sins follow them. That would be them. We have a superior leader. Christ showed no fear in the face of Satan when he was tempted in Matthew 4. He showed no fear when he was in Golgotha's garden, or when he was in the garden temptation. He felt no fear when he was at Golgotha's hill. He is a fearless leader. Not true about the devil. James 2:9 said, thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe, but they tremble. The knowledge that there is a God like we serve causes the devil to tremble. Our God is superior. Our leader is superior. Our enemy is afraid of our leader. And that's the reason why we never go in our name or our works. But when we go against the enemy, we go in the name of Jesus Christ and we go in the works of Christ. Number two, we have superior weaponry. That's the reason why we are fearless. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteous is of me, saith the Lord. Believe me, saints of God, you really don't have to fight your battle. You really do not have to justify yourself. You don't have to correct every railing accusation. You don't have to hunt down every rumor. You do not have to correct everybody that tells a lie on you. Praise God, we have a superior weaponry, and that weaponry is that my God will take care of it. The heritage of the servants of the Lord and the righteous of me, saith the Lord. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What we possess is superior to anything that the devil can unfurl. Any weapon that he comes against us with will not flourish, because we have superb weaponry. The blood of Jesus, the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the power of prayer, the amazing strength of praise. These are weapons, and they are mighty, and they will bring the enemy to naught in your life. Number three, we have superior authority. Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is a name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Friend, we have authority because our authority is in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know who he is? The Bible said that not anything was made that was not made by him. And we come in his name. We have full authority against everything that is not of God. And so it gives us tremendous fearlessness. We can say, I am not afraid, because I have a superior leader. I'm not afraid because I have superior weaponry. I am not afraid because I have superior authority. Your authority is greater than the mayor. It's greater than the governor. It's greater than the president. It's greater than the armies of the world, because the armies of God are behind you. When you come in the full armor of the Lord, and you have put on above all the shield of faith in the name of Jesus Christ, and you're clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, you ought to be as bold as a lion. The devil goes about as a lion, because he is a fake, and he's always in costume, but he's never in reality. But ladies and gentlemen, you are now the lions from the tribe of Judah, and you are in a superior position, and you ought to get up every morning and say, the devil, to the devil, devil, I'm not afraid of you. You are a defeated foe. You are under my heel by the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am an overcomer, and I cannot be stopped, and I cannot be defeated, for I am victorious in the name of the Lord. If you believe that, give the Lord a round of applause. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a great array of things to be afraid of. And those that do not have the superior leader, and those that do not have the superior weaponry, and those that do not have superior authority, you ought to be afraid of everything. You ought to run from every shadow. You ought to run from every threat. You ought to watch the news and hang on every word, because it affects you. But praise God, if you belong to Christ, if you've been washed in his blood, if you've called on the name that is above every name, if you are a subscriber for the standard that is raised against the flood of evil, then my friend, you ought to be a fearless saint, son, warrior of the Almighty God. And so you don't hide from the presence of God, because fear will make you hide from God's presence. But when you have faith, it makes you run to the roar. It makes you seek out God and say, God, I want to stand in your presence. Hallelujah. Ye are God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. We are fearless because we have superior authority. Hallelujah. Over COVID, over cancer, over sin, over fear, over bondage, over threat, over everything the devil and his world can throw against us, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many people have ever been afraid? I remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was afraid. I used to ask my mother, Mama, can I go over to Larry Jones's? It's about 3 miles out there in the country. And she said, yeah, you can go over there, son, but you be home before it gets dark. But as little boys will do, I stayed too late. And it got dark. It was 3 miles through the dark. I had to go by King's Chapel, which had a cemetery behind it. And I remember as I come by that old church, it was deserted. They no longer used it for anything but funerals. But when I came up by that church, I remember I was whistling, I was singing, I was walking. I had my head. But after a while, when those ghosts started coming out of that cemetery, friend, I want to tell you, if Q had been there, I would have left him in my dust. I was picking him up and I was setting him down. I was running as hard as I could. We had a neighbor named John Kranz. He used to like to sit out in his yard in pitch black and play the fiddle. And as I come by, I can hear that fiddle music going. That just was sound effects for the drama the devil was unfolding for me. I remember running. I don't know how long I ran, but I run till I got home. I run in that house. I leaned against the wall. Mom said, what's wrong? I said, nothing. She said, were you running? I said, no. Were you scared? No. I was scared nearly to death. I was a little boy with a perfect heart, and I almost had a heart attack. Oh, I was scared. Fear has torment, and this is a tormented world. In fact, they've invented a phrase for it. It is now called the fear factor. The fear factor is greater in America than it has ever been in the history of this country, they tell us. And friend, I'm going to tell you, it is a tangible thing. You can sense fear in people all over this country, wherever you go. It's just one more chance for us to be called out, set apart, put a city on a hill, to be the light of the world, that we can walk through a fear-filled world and show them what it means to be fearless and to be filled with faith, and say it doesn't matter what's going on, because one will fall at my left and 1,000 at my right, 10,000 shall fall because I am with the Lord, and the Lord is on my side, and my leader is better than your leader. Praise God, my leader is Jesus Christ. His name is above every name. He is the Almighty God incarnate. He knows me by name. Oh, hallelujah. I am fearless because I know the Lord is on my side. The best is yet to come. Victory is mine. I shall prevail. Oh, hallelujah. What a day. What a day. It's a day to rejoice. It's not a day to complain. It's a day to praise, not voice your fear. It's a day to shout, not a day to whimper. It's a day to declare, not a day to surrender. This is a day the Lord hath made, and he has made us for that very, very day. Number four, we have a superior covering. We are unlike Adam and Eve, not naked and afraid. We're not covered with fig leaves, nor are we covered with the rags of self-righteousness. We are covered with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Purge me with hyssop, David said, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I have not given enough money. though it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, that I've responsibly given to the kingdom of God in 71 years, but that does not cover me. I can't count to you the number of church services I've been in, or the hours of prayer, or the hours of praise, or the hours of preaching, but none of that covers me. I am covered in the blood of Jesus from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And when you are covered, you simply do not have to be afraid. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is that covering that gives voice to the testimony. Look what the Lord has done. Look where he found me, and look where he brought me. Look what I've been through, and praise God, I'm still standing. Look at the devil's attack, and they've come to naught. It's the word of my testimony because of the covering of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ is all power. Water can't wash it off. Fire can't burn it off. Mud can't stain it. People can't rip it off of you when you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are fearless. You can go into the dying lion's den and come out a champion. You can go into the fiery furnace and come out victorious because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Some of you have been through hell, but you don't look like it. Some of you look like hell, but you don't smell like smoke because you are covered by the blood of Jesus. And the devil thought he had you, but here you are on a Wednesday night at Living Way Church in September of 2021, strutting your stuff. Just got to strut my stuff. Just got to give my testimony. Got to let somebody know I'm still standing and I am no wise tired. Can you give God some praise in this house? Oh, hallelujah. How many people do we have that can say, I am fearless because I am in Christ Jesus? It's not a fake fear. It's not just a bravado that I'm trying to put forth. It is the assurance of the word of God and God's promises, and they have come to fruition in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. These are our best days. These are our best days. We might be in a whole company of unbelievers, but we are in a league of our own. Hallelujah. We've got the best defense we've ever had. We've got the best offense we've ever had. We're stronger than we've ever had. We praise better than we ever did. We sing better than we ever did. We pray more effectively than we ever have. We're stronger than we've ever been because we are fearless in the face of the world's greatest foe in Jesus' name. And number five, we are fearless because we have superior position. In him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we also are his offspring. Hallelujah. We are in an enviable position. Not only do the apostles and the prophets and the righteous of the Old Testament look upon us and envy us, the world looks at us and envies us. That's one of our witnessing tools, is to live in a position that causes the world to envy us or want to duplicate us and be like us. The greatest witness you can have is how. How can you go through that and you're not defeated? How can you go through that and you still got a song? How can you do that and you're still going to church? How can you do that and your faith is still intact? How can you go through that and you still got a praise? Oh, friend, it's because we know in whom we have believed. We are rooted and grounded and planted. Our position is forever sure. Nobody can threaten that. Somebody on the job said, I think I'll buy a new car. and your boss says, I wouldn't make too many plans for the future, that tells you that your position is not very secure. You might be on the chopping block. You might be in part of the downsizing. You're just not in a good position. But oh, the God that I am serving right now has given us promises. And he said, don't downsize. Don't cut back. Go for everything. Everything you ever hoped for, go for it. Everything you want to do, do it. Everything you ever said, act it out. Everything you want to buy, buy it. Everywhere you want to go, go it. Because you are in a position, and in this position, praise God, the adversary absolutely has no authority over your position. And I give unto him, Jesus said, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know that person that don't like you very well? They can't pluck you out of the Father's hand. You know that ex-husband that treated you like a dog until you finally you said enough is enough, and he's told all kinds of things about you? He can't pluck you out of the Father's hand. You know that brother in the church that got jealous of you and said things about you? Well, he can't pluck you out of the Father's hand. You know what? That pastor that got aggravated at you, he can't pluck you out of the Father's hand. You know your own kin folks that turned to you, they can't pluck you out of the Father's hand. Your position is secure in him. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. To him that overcome, I will grant, sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. That's what he thinks of you. He said, you got a place not only at the table, you got a place at the throne. That's what God said about you. Our position is superior to anybody in the world that's not saved. I don't care if they've got $1 billion and their name is Bill Gates. I don't care if they've got political power and if they've got worldwide fame for their gifts and talents. If you are in Christ, you are in a superior position, and that makes you as bold as a lion. That makes you absolutely fearless. You said, nobody can take away what I got. Nobody can remove my candlestick. Nobody can make me go back. Oh, I've seen people leave church over such little items simply because somebody got their seat or somebody said something that wasn't kind and they left church. You really gave up your position that easily? Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how many people have been trying to get me out of this position for the last 50 or 60 years. But praise God, I'm planted and I won't be moved. I won't be moved. And it just makes people so mad when they reach out and take a hold of you and they say, I can't move him, I can't budge him, I can't get her out. What's wrong? She's in the Father's hand. She's unpluckable. Praise God. She's got a position where it is forever settled. Praise God. And because of that, she is fearless in the face of the greatest attack that the devil can bring against her, in Jesus' name. And finally, the last point, God's love is superior to fear. God's love is superior to fear. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Ladies and gentlemen, I heard the greatest love story. And it wasn't on Hallmark, and it wasn't on television, and it was not a romance novel. It was how God loved me while I was yet a sinner. While I was yet a sinner. Would you have married her at 17 if you'd have known what she was going to look like at 77? Would you have married her at 105 pounds if you knew that she was going to eat healthy and be 305 pounds? Would you really have done that? Well, that's where God saw you. He didn't see you at 105. He saw you at 305. He didn't see your face with an ivory complexion. He saw wrinkles that looked like the moon's surface. And he said, as ugly as they appear to everybody else, I think they're lovely, and I can't live without them, so I'll just die for them. What a love story. That's how much God loved you. That's how much God loved me. And when I realized the love of God, I fell in love with Him, because God first loved me while I was yet a sinner. It gave me a confidence. Paul said, cast not away your confidence. Oh, friend, aren't you afraid God's going to throw you away? No, because I ain't perfect, but I'm a whole lot better than I was when God found me. And if God loved me when He found me, I know He can love me like I am now. I ain't perfect, but I'm improved. I'm the new improved version of what I used to be. So I've got confidence, and I'm not going to throw it away. That God gives up every morning talking to the angels and saying, ain't He something? I'm in love with Him. While I was yet a sinner, He marched up Golgotha's hill. It wasn't nails that held His feet and hands to the cross. It was His love for me. What a love story. And all you've got to do, ladies and gentlemen, is fall in love with the one that fell in love with you. You were altogether ugly, and He fell in love with you. But He's altogether lovely. Why can't you fall in love with Him? Oh, what a God we serve. He's good. He's kind. He's nice. He's righteous. He's eternal. He's wonderful. He's your counselor. He's your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's your provider. He's your forgiver. He's your way maker. He's your joy in the morning. He'll be with you in the shadow, praise God. He'll be with. Why can't you love Him? Oh, I love Him. Oh, Paul said, I was something, man. I was killing Christians for a living when Jesus Christ came and revealed His love store to me. But he said, now let me just say this. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I can't go to church. I just don't have nothing to wear. Paul said, I go naked. He said, naked can't even separate me from the love of God. He said, I don't care what I'm wearing. I don't care about persecution. I don't care about famine. I don't care about distress. I don't care about tribulation. He said, nothing can get me out of that love story. He said, God wrote me in, and I'm a main player in the romance story of the ages, and nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, not depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My fearlessness is not based on a checkbook that has a calendar of tithing checks. It's not based on 10,000 Wednesday nights. It's not based on everything that I could boast of in my flesh, which mean nothing. But praise God, my fearlessness is based on I have a Savior that literally cannot fail, and He has saved me to the uttermost. And so no matter what's happened in this world, I'm as bold as a lion, because God really is on my side. Stand on your feet if you believe that, and give God a big praise in this tabernacle tonight. We praise You, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've known people that would not come to Christ but have faked boldness. Oh, they just seemed like they was fearless. But in their last moment, I was called to the bedside of a man in Bossier City, Louisiana, many years ago. His son was a saved Christian. He asked me to come. He was in the last hours of his life. He said, preacher, he said, my son is a real Christian. He said, I'm a make-believe Christian. He said, I watched my son grow up in my home, and said he got totally saved. He said, I've been a deacon in my church, but he said, I've never been saved. And I know I'm not. For 50 years of life, he had faked fearlessness. But he clapped my hand, an old frail man clapped my hand till it hurt. He said, I'm dying without God. I went to church Sunday after church. I was a deacon. Sunday after Sunday, I went to church. I was a deacon, but I'm not saved. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. It's a terrible thing to see somebody when their fearlessness fades in their final hour. But oh, I've been on the other side of the coin and watched dear old saints as they took their last breath and they say, I see Jesus. I see Jesus now. Oh, I look forward to seeing Jesus.